As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And at that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them and replied, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." The Gospel of the Lord. Everyone has at least a few things around them that help make life a bit more comfortable. Maybe just small things. For me, there's the automatic fly spray in summertime, and the homemade hot cross buns I devour all through Lent, and the small radio I take with me when I travel. For my missionary friend in the Solomon Islands, it's a pet python that helps control the vermin, and a huntsman spider that kills cockroaches in his shower. I guess if I had to, I'd give up the fly spray, and even the buns. To be honest, I'd hate to give up my radio. Yet this story about Jesus seems so demanding. Remember that in his time, wealth was thought of as God's reward to a person for living a good life. It was a divine regulation of the world. No wonder the young man, and the disciples too, were thunderstruck by what Jesus said. And without doubt, there are people in our world who might well ponder on their wealth, how it was achieved and how they make use of it. I am reminded of that invented word, affluenza, which in one of my books has these definitions. 1, the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. 2, an epidemic of stress, overwork, waste, and indebtedness caused by dogged pursuit of the American dream. 3, an unsustainable addiction to economic growth. Maybe for most of us, that kind of wealth is not so much a problem. For me, the wealth is not so much about possessing things as being able to enjoy comforts. Two cups of coffee I have to have each morning, my love of ice cream, my pleasure in reading or preaching at Mass because I think I do it quite well, the TV program on Tuesday night that I hate to miss. It's probably only a difference in scale that makes me different from the overpaid bankers and ruthless industrialists whom we like to condemn. It's the same kind of look-after-myself attitude that hinders us from recognizing my responsibility for all those who go without. The people I read about in my newspaper this morning who live in mould-ridden shacks, who suffer the death of babies through poor health care, who have no special help for their disabled children. It's a challenge to me to reread the pastoral letter that was written by the United States bishops in 1986. As followers of Christ, we are challenged to make a fundamental option for the poor, to speak for the voiceless, to defend the defenseless, to assess lifestyles, policies, and social institutions in terms of their impact on the poor. This option for the poor does not mean pitting one group against another, but rather strengthening the whole community by assisting those who are the most vulnerable. As Christians, we are called to respond to the needs of all our brothers and sisters, but those with the greatest needs require the greatest response. The earth and all it produces is intended for every person. Private ownership is okay, but we all also have a responsibility to ensure that all have enough to live in dignity. I have to check from time to time that my own comforts are not obstructing my response to the invitation that Jesus makes, nor hindering my commitment to the world I live in.